Hi, and welcome to Culture Unraveled.
And I want to be able to give a gist of the incident that happened in Hathras. On September 14th, a 19-year-old Dalit girl was allegedly gang-raped and strangled in Hathras district in UP. She was later hospitalized in New Delhi, where she finally died on September 29th. She was cremated by the police early the next morning, allegedly without the family's consent, triggering a major political storm around the incident and very widespread media attention. The article about the incident in India Today stated that while sexual crimes in and of itself isn't new, what is disturbing though is the rise of brutality of these crimes. Manish Kumar, a Dalit rights activist, states, "Earlier you would come across cases of rape, but now it's gang rape, videotaping and mutilation. You see very violent forms of these crimes happening." Experts in different fields place a number of reasons for the rise of this brutality. Dr. S.K. Khandelwal, a psychiatrist at AIIMS, says that the disdain for lower caste inherited over generations coupled with misogyny makes men intolerant to any type of insubordination by women. They subconsciously use this as a justification to completely humiliate them. So caste and misogyny has been cited as huge factors that have contributed to the brutality of these crimes. But Professor D.R. Sahu, who teaches sociology at Lucknow University, gives another very important angle to the discussion. And here's what he says, I quote, "Every case of brutality has a different context and caste provides the background in some cases. But there are certain generic factors inciting such violence. The accessibility of pornography, increased time on mobile phones away from the eyes of the family, and a focus on materialistic achievements while ignoring moral and social values have all caused the degradation in society. The stress is reflected in the brutal nature of these crimes," end quote. D.R. Sahu is pointing to something very pertinent that should not be ignored here. He says the rampant use of pornography, the time spent on mobile phones at the expense of time spent with family or society, and the trivializing of moral and social behavior are reflected in the brutal nature of the crime. And he says that since this is happening everywhere, there is an overall degradation in society, and this overall pressure builds up and is reflected in the crimes. Let me bring a thinker here who can help us process what Professor Sahu is saying. The French sociologist Emile Durkheim, and in his work, pushes us to look at society as one organism. And if there is a problem with one part, then there is something in the whole system that has led to that particular failure. It is a byproduct of the system itself. And he looks at crime like that, a delinquent behavior that is caused within the matrix of society. What he says is that these individual crimes are a symptom of a much larger disease that in a sense has plagued us. And so Hathras in this sense is an inevitable consequence of the collective state of our country. And if we are all part of the nation, then the corrective needs to be implemented individually as well as collectively. I have titled the podcast as Hathras and the Pursuit of Truth. And so what is the truth that we are trying to get at here? From the narrative itself, we see almost on every level there is some sort of cover-up. There seems to be a cover-up by the police, there is a cover-up by the upper class, there's a cover-up by, there's a whole political agenda behind this thing. And the whole incident is shrouded in deceit, in lies, in concealment of facts, invested interests. Almost everyone involved wants to cover their tracks. But the only thing that can set us free is the truth, to reckon with the truth, whatever it is, and wherever that leads us, however difficult it might be. But religious truth isn't just about figuring out objective facts. It is understanding how these facts translate into our lives and the way in which we can apply it. It is a truth that pushes us to action, to change ourselves. And if we give credit to what Durkheim says, then we are not outside the system. We are all part of the system. We are not spectators sitting on seats looking at an event that is happening out there, but players who, in and through our individual actions, contribute to the system as a whole. And a crime like this in its extreme form, as much as it sparks protests and rallies for justice, should also push us to reflect and make individual changes. The book, The Kingdom of God is Within You by Leo Tolstoy, which takes its title from the Gospel of Luke, says that unless there is genuine spiritual renewal among individuals in a society will continue to perpetuate violent acts. It is individual reformations that contribute to mass societal changes. The honest truth we need to ask ourselves is that what is that one action that we are doing that is causing a warp in the system? How is my life contributing to the degradation of society as a whole? And in one sense, we might think it's trivial, but it's these trivial actions that collectively come together to form unthinkable delinquent behaviors. And so if excessive pornographic use is a problem for you, then seek help. You might not overcome it in a day, but try and be open and honest with trusted people and seek God's help. Try and move to a change. If you are in a position of power and are strong-arming or humiliating subordinates, get it checked. Listen to those below you. If you have an inherent bias and look condescendingly towards those of another class or another caste, then deal with that honestly. We are all not part of the justice or legal system that directly tries to resolve the crimes that we see at Hathras. But all our individual actions have consequences in ways and means that are way more mysterious than we think, that pushes way beyond our individual life and forms part of the collective life of our nation.